BNCLive.com. All right, it's Al Fink over here at BNCLive.com. All right, it's June 5th, 2017. Have a nice show in store for you today. We're going to be talking about the Long Island music scene and what's going on out that way. We're going to have a special guest coming on with us soon, Kate Fazio. Plays in several bands out in the Long Island area and the New York City area. She's going to tell us all about her bands that she plays with and some of the music that she sings. I think we're going to have her come in on the phone in momentarily here. So hang on 1 second. We're going to get her on the phone. Kate, is that you? Kate?
Hello.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
All right. How are you?
Good. You hear me okay? We have a good microphone?
Yes, as long as you can hear me.
Yeah, you sound very good. Okay, we're live and on the air, and we're ready to go.
Awesome.
We're BNCLive.com. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm doing pretty well right now.
Good. Looks like you had a pretty busy schedule in April, and I wanted to kind of go over some of the places that you play and some of the music that you cover. I was looking at a lot of your videos on YouTube. You do quite a bit of cover stuff for a lot of different artists. So why don't we have you tell us about some of the stuff that you do, where you hail from and how long you've been doing this. And so we're going to turn the microphone over to you. And then from what you tell us, I'll start asking you some questions. Okay.
Okay. All right, cool. Basically, I'm from Long Island, in a town called Northport. I've grown up there my whole life, and basically, I started singing at a very young age. I was part of the NISMA program for New York State has a NISMA competition. I would enter that every year vocally because I was trained when I was younger, classically trained. I ended up doing the rock band stuff when I had just turned 21. I got offered from the Brotherhood, which is the first band that I played with, to come and sit in a few songs with them. And then it turned into I was playing with them all the time, and then I had half of the set list. So it was the first band that was with. I was with them actually for almost 10 years. They were the guys who really got me started, and it was a classic rock band. You know, I sang a lot of things like Melissa Etheridge, Alanis Morissette, which is, I don't really consider that classic rock, but they were a classic rock band. And, you know, we incorporated some more of, like, anywhere between late 80s and late 90s for my set list to the band. So I sang a lot of Pink, Gwen Stefani, you know, everybody calls me the What's Up Girl because that was really the song that put me out there, What's Up by Four Non Blondes. And from there, you know, I made a decision a few years ago to really kind of try to pursue a singing career. Because when I was with the Brotherhood, that was something, that was a passion of mine. It wasn't my career. And I went full force into looking for other bands, and I got to play with other bands and still do. We have the Meatloaf Tribute Band on Long Island that I'm a part of. And I also sing with a big New York City band called Deep Sea Revival. And... you know, I have my own band and my own project called The Beautiful Mess. I no longer sing with the Brotherhood, but they are still out playing. And I was in a couple of other projects, too, here and there. Shortly, I was with a band called Atomic Mary. I was also in a band called Less Than Zero. And, I mean... throughout the years, I've played with some really amazing people and amazing musicians, and I'm really grateful that I actually had the opportunity to do that and have them actually help me expand in the music world instead of try to hold me back and down. So I'm really happy about that. In the process of doing all this stuff for my music and when I was really trying to get out there, in the beginning I did an acoustic act with a good friend of mine, Jeff Mucciolo, who he unfortunately passed away almost 2 years ago.
Sorry
very
to hear
suddenly.
That.
Yeah, very suddenly. And, you know, he's still right beside me doing everything with me. I know he is. But in the process of that, when I was with Jeff, we were trying to promote our acoustic gig, and I ended up meeting the very talented Michael Zinn. Michael Zinn is a photographer, and he started doing some shots of me and eventually asked me to come and be a part of his project called Women of Armageddon. Women of Armageddon is a calendar, and pretty soon we have a lot more plans for Women of Armageddon, such as, you know, I think there's a little maybe comic strip series he created, but then, you know, he's possibly looking into doing a movie about it. So he's got a lot going on. So that's how the modeling kind of came into play. I started with Michael Zinn, and then some other people shot me, and then people started, you know, coming to shows and shooting me and giving me the pictures. So, you know, it really was all for the music, though, and I never, like, branched out and said to myself, oh, I'm going to be a model. You know, I kind of did the modeling so that it would enhance my music career in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all the different projects that I am a part of. And then, of course, I have my own, you know, project, and I'm trying to do my own originals and get out there that way. I do have one original on YouTube. I wrote it a few years ago, and actually I got it all composed a few years ago, but I wrote it a long time ago with another musician that I really met the first time, like when I first started doing this. Oh my goodness, I'm sorry. Kahlua, no.
That's okay. I like animals.
If you ever go to my Facebook page, you'll see tons of video of her. She is my bird, and she likes just to be part of the conversation. And she sings too, but...
Is it a parrot?
Yes. It's the white Beretta bird.
Oh, no kidding. That's a pretty large bird.
Right. Yeah. she's my entertainment.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I like all animals. I pull over for squirrels that are running across the road, and I want to hit them.
Right. I don't even like killing spiders, so I put them back outside. You know.
You know, it's
all
funny
good.
Because I do the same thing, and they're actually very good to eat other bugs and stuff, especially
right.
the daddy long leggers. I see a lot of those around. And
yeah.
Tell me about your push into original music. What are your plans for that, and some of the things that you're working on with that?
Well, it's really been. You know, it's challenging when you're just a performer and a singer and you don't play an instrument. So you begin to rely on other people to help you. And, you know, everybody's got schedules and, you know, things like that. So I finally found, you know, some great musicians who are really excited and willing to help me out. We are going to try to start the process this summer, but since, you know, the summers are always crazy for cover bands especially, it's a little hard to stay focused on the project and really put your, like, 100% in it when you're doing a whole bunch of covers. So we're going to try to start it, you know, soon, but if not, we will be doing it, you know, in the beginning of September, October, and really kind of putting forth some effort in that finally. We didn't know if possibly this Wednesday I'm going in to actually record, and we didn't know if maybe we would be able to come up with a quick original for somebody wanted my vocals on a blues cover, and we had to bring the blues song to them, but we're going to go with a covers blues song because it's really hard to pull something up in 2 days. Kahlua, stop.
You know, what I find interesting is when people go out to the clubs and stuff, They want to hear what they're hearing on the radio, and they don't know what they're missing with a lot of these original songs that the local artists come up with and they sing.
You're right.
And I interview a lot of artists, and they have a lot of great music. They're very good with the covers, you know, not to take anything away from them. And believe it or not, I find that some of the cover bands are better than the original artists and live playing,
right.
playing
you know,
the original artist song.
Cover bands find ways to make it, you know, even more entertaining because they've got to do it live, you know. They've got to perform in front of people. So sometimes they add their own twists. I do that a lot with my band, you know. You can't make it exactly like it, but sometimes people are like, wow, I like that even better, you know. And
yep.
That's what makes the cover band job so appealing. You know, you can make it your own.
Exactly. And I think the cover band starts with the live performance first rather than, you know, the original band. They start in a studio and they're tracking it, you know. And then so they're really not sitting there, you know, five artists playing different instruments. A lot of them are just tracking it, and it's a compilation almost. And then when they get on stage, it's almost like, okay, now what? You know what
right.
I mean? So as good as the music sounds when after it's recorded, you know, it doesn't, a lot of times it doesn't sound the same when the cover band, when the original band plays it on stage. I've been to many concerts and very disappointed, like saying, who are these people? They never sound nothing like the record, you know, and then artists defend them, you know, even cover artists, they'd say, they're at the mercy of the sound
yeah.
person. They're at the mercy of not feeling well, possibly bad acoustics. You know, they go down the whole list and they're just, you know, they're trying to defend the other artists. And I understand that. I understand that.
Right.
So tell me, let me ask you about, I'm looking at your, you have a lot of stuff on Facebook. So do you have somebody that comes to all of your gigs and then does videos on Facebook for you?
I don't necessarily, the only videos I had were professionally done by Michael Zinn. He did the promo video for A Beautiful Mess, and that's on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The photos, usually if they're at 89 North, Rick Balter takes care of that. I met him through, I can't remember if I met him through the 89 North show or if I met him through Less Than Zero. And we were playing at the Talk House in Amagansett. But one of those, I met him. And, of course, he knows who Michael Zinn is. And, you know, he started taking pictures whenever I was at those events. And, you know, he lets me see, and he's like, would you like any of these? And then I get them from him. But a majority of my photos are taken by Michael Zinn. So he usually comes and does a lot of my photography work for me. We work together in a lot of different projects.
I noticed you communicate with your fans a lot on Facebook Live.
Yes.
When you go on and then you actually, how does that work out for you? Does that work out pretty good? Do you tell people where you're playing through Facebook Live, your latest things that are going on? Is that how you work it?
I'd rather, you see, my big thing is, and you know, some people, I don't know, some people don't agree with it, but the way that I feel about it is I can put a post up and I can write it and put a picture and say, hey, we're playing here, which I do, you know, I can do that. But, I mean, nobody has conversations with anybody anymore, you know, and face-to-face conversations. And I kind of feel like in order to talk to people, they should really kind of see or, I guess, see your expressions, see your feelings, see what you're doing. And that's the best way that I can be like, guys, really, come to the show, you know. Or convey a message to them and they can see, oh, look, it's her. Look at these expressions she's giving. this is really her, this is live, this is a real person, it's not just a computer, you know, it's not something I'm reading off a computer, you know. That's what I like about it. I can be, ow, sorry, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
My bird just...
Did you get bit?
No, she jumped on me. She's like out of control right now. Not okay. Not cool, Kahlua. I'm like that crazy bird lady who just talks to her bird all day.
That's okay.
But she kind of talks back, so it's fine. Yeah, she's just, I don't, she knows I'm on the phone right now, so
she wants your attention.
Right, she gets a little jealous, which I don't really like that very much. Sorry, putting
That's
her
okay.
back.
Well, you know, let me tell you one thing. This show is kind of like Main Street America. None of this show is scripted. There's no teleprompter. You know what, there's very little preparation that I do. I basically look at your site. So that's one of our claims to fame here, is this is real life. You know what I mean?
Right.
And artists
well, that,
have
and
lives.
Well, that goes back to my whole Facebook Live thing. You know, I'm a real person. You know, this is really me. You know, you get a lot of people who, you ever see that show on MTV called Catfish? Or hear about it. It's about these people who get catfished all the time by other people, and granted, they mean it in like a romantic way. But, you know, people can also pull up my information and use my picture or do this. Now, if I do Facebook Lives, then at least they know who I am on there. You know what I mean? And that's really me. I'm really coming live. I'm not some kind of fake person with a fake profile, you know, claiming to be someone.
I think that's a great idea.
Right. You know, it makes it more personable for the person. It's kind of like, hey, look, she's on and she's talking, you know. I feel like I'm talking to her right now. And then I can make it more comfortable for them to communicate sometimes, because I can't necessarily see them, but they see me. And they can ask questions and be honest and, you know, do whatever they need to do. You know, I always ask people, you know, for their input if they like hearing certain music, because obviously I cover a wide range of things, and I'm always trying to be a crowd pleaser in finding out what people would really like to hear. So anytime anybody has, you know, some sort of a, you know, choice of what they want to hear, then I, you know, definitely want to play that, because the next time I'm out, you know, this would be good new material for whoever's listening.
Go ahead. So do you take like requests when you're doing the Facebook Live? And I see you get a lot of views. This one I'm looking at here, you got 281 views. Do you get a lot of requests, or hey, you're going to do this song, or you're going to do that song? Hey, we're going to come out and we really like to hear this. Does that happen a lot when you're communicating on Facebook Live?
You know what? I say that briefly to them, and they really like to talk about kind of other things, you know?
Like what kind of things they like to talk about?
Well, you know, they'll just ask, hey, how are you? Lately, it's been, hey, how are you feeling? Because I went through some hell this past winter with my medical issues. So we had a few posts about certain things, and a lot of times people want to kind of continue to talk about that.
They care about you. They care about you.
Right. You see, they want to know that I'm okay. So I don't mind discussing certain things, especially since I've been a big promoter in trying to find ways to make the condition that I actually have better for other women. I started my own group through that. And even on that group page, it's a private page, but I'll do Facebook Live. So that, you know, when you're talking about a sensitive subject, they actually can see you talking about it. You know, you're not hiding yourself. You started a big impact page. Right. Like, you can read something on Facebook and go, oh, wow, that's so sad. Now, let's take whatever that was read and actually put a face to it and, you know, emotion. It becomes 10 times more meaningful, you know. So that's my whole thing behind Facebook Live. Granted, you will never find a Facebook Live of mine where I'm just out in public hanging out. It's usually to promote something and you know, or talk about something really serious, you know, that's going on either, you know, in the entertainment world or, whatever health condition I'm talking about at that point. I kind of keep all my Facebook Live stuff professional, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of my – I love social media in certain ways, and I don't like it in other ways. I think it's a great promotional tool, but I do think that it's getting abused a little bit in other ways. So I try to keep everything that about my life, you know, social media-wise, all professional. And the other parts of my life, you know, you don't find very many pictures, and maybe some of my girlfriends or whatever. But if you go scrolling through it, it's mainly just performing, you know.
Yes.
So I think it is an awesome tool for promoting yourself. It's what people read now. That's what they see. You know, they're not going to like a magazine so much anymore, or they're not going to a newspaper. They're going and looking on Facebook what's going on in the world. So everything, and they'll even see, you know, shows like cover shows or live shows of anything on Facebook Live now. Which I think
it's
funny because
it's changed the world, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think it's funny because they're able to pretty much record Facebook Live these shows, but the moment that I try to do something with music on mine independently, Facebook takes it down. So because it's a cover song, and that's a whole other issue, you know, with the music industry right now, is you know, anytime you want to put something up on a social media page, music related, you've got to have the right, you know, you have to pay the certain fines or whatever to have a certain license in order to have, you know, cover music being played on your Facebook and that and the other thing. Just like you at the radio station, you have to have your proper licensing and
that's
agreements. So now the world has Facebook and Facebook Live, and they want to do these things where they have cover songs in them, and they automatically get taken down because it's not allowed.
Well, it's a copyright infringement, and you know the artist wants to be paid for their work, and you kind of can't blame them.
No. What I'm saying is
very difficult.
Right. What I'm saying is it's funny how people can get into concerts though, and do Facebook Lives of these bands and everything that are playing the same songs, or they're the actual live band and it can go up on Facebook Live with all the rules that have been put in place. You get what I mean? Like, it's interesting how that all works.
It's almost like going to a baseball game and broadcasting the baseball game, which they probably wouldn't let you do. You know,
right.
Or a football game. You know, professional football game.
I totally agree with you.
I agree with
that. Musicians should be paid for what they're doing. You know, like, mm-hmm. it's become so hard to, in the music industry, to get originals out. And that's another reason why people don't do so many originals either. They can make originals and they'll get maybe 2 cents, you know, after everything is said and done for one song, if it gets uploaded a couple of times. You know,
absolutely. It's the performance. It's getting out. Artists are making their money performing now.
Right. Exactly.
You know, but actually going out and performing on stage.
Right.
And that's tiring.
I think it's good. I love performing. Uh-huh. I'd actually much rather do that than, you know, just the recording work. That's my personal preference. But, you know, at the same time, for something that you created, you should get credit for that. You know what I mean? And you should get more than just, you know, people are buying it. And then, what?
Are you a member of
BMI.
ASCAP or BMI? You're a member of BMI. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
And so this way you should probably also join Sound Exchange. They count every time your music is played online.
Oh, nice.
And that's another way of getting paid. You should check into Sound Exchange.
Right. Well, I just remember having a conversation with somebody and them saying, like, you know, and it's so true. The 90s, the 80s and the 90s, people went and bought Kahlua, Stop It. People went and bought a whole album, you know, on a CD or, you know, cassette tape, whatever. They bought the whole thing, 12 songs.
Right. You'd go to the record store, or you
right.
or you'd go to you know, like a Walmart kind of store and buy it, and then they would get, you know, royalties for that.
Right.
That changed a lot after Napster.
Exactly.
And the
yes.
internet, yeah.
Napster was the one big thing that started that, and but you know, like if you think about it, you paid $19.99 for the CD. Well, you know, nowadays you don't need to buy the whole CD or album. You can just go on and pick one independent song and play, you know, pay 99 cents on your iTunes. So, yeah, it's just become a huge difference in, you know, even just the music world. Nobody buys the whole thing anymore. They just buy individual songs, which also makes it interesting for, you know, any recording artist to even record up to a 12-song album in one shot. When people are just buying things independently.
well, what, so you know, what a lot of artists do is they record one song at a time, and then when they have enough songs to put on an album, they release. I guess they call it an EP now on a disc.
Yes,
where they release the whole thing, and then they hold back a song or two, and then they release it with you know, like a release party. And then they may play that song out, you know, while they're you know, playing out, and then they release the song.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's a smart way to do it. If you're gonna do any kind of originals, if you're better off, you know, doing a bunch of covers and throwing some of your originals in there. That way, people will actually, you know, they'll kind of sit there and focus on it a little bit more. Because as you said in the beginning. You know, people go out and they all are listening to the cover bands. They're not listening to the originals. I found with a couple of bands that is Kahlua. Stop. Oh, my God. I can't.
Poor bird. Animals are way smarter than people give them credit for. They know exactly what's going on.
Right. She's intelligent.
Really do. Yeah.
She's the smartest thing I've ever met.
That's amazing.
Really.
It's amazing. Birds are very smart creatures. I like to watch them outside. I notice there's a lot more birds now than when I was growing up. They've really cleaned up the environment for avian creatures. They stopped using a lot of different pesticides. And I live in the woods over here in South Jersey, and we have all kinds of beautiful birds here. And I always sit and watch them. And it's interesting what they do. And it's almost like they're thinking about what they're doing before they do it. And then
she's definitely thinking and plotting all the time. The bird is a plotter.
Yeah.
She's found ways to get out of her cage. And I mean, it's a huge metal cage, you know, so she,
wow.
I'll come home sometimes and she's usually out if I am home. But when I leave, I put her in because she likes to chew on furniture and wires
mm-hmm.
and things like that. But when I come home and sometimes she's found herself a way out of the cage, I'm like, how'd you do that?
You have to put like a clothespin or like a clamp on the cage to keep her from opening the door?
It's like a little lock that you put in there.
I got you. Uh-huh. I've seen other people do that, you know, where they have birds. They have to lock them in during the day. And a lot of times they cover them during the day so they go to sleep.
They, you know what they do, but I don't really believe in covering her for the full day because then when I
probably
come
gets
home,
hot
she's back.
Probably
and,
gets hot in there.
Well, not only that, she's in the dark the whole time. You know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
thing,
there's
you know,
no light.
The
there's no anything. She, you know, I yeah. find that with her, I can just turn off the lights. And she pretty much will stop.
Mm-hmm. Does she let you leave like a radio on for her and stuff like that? Ever listen to music?
I leave the TV on for her now. You know,
okay.
I moved into an apartment, so I leave my TV. She's out in the main area now, which before she was in my bedroom. So mm-hmm. she really couldn't face the TV. But now she is facing the TV, so I leave the TV on for her, and she's right next to a big window. And she sees
she likes all the time.
Yeah, and she sees birds. So she's very, very happy with that.
What is your favorite band to cover? Do you have a favorite band or a favorite genre to music to cover?
I am definitely rock. That's the genre is definitely rock for me. And not like metal rock. I just mean, you know, rock, classic rock, you know, pop rock, things like that. And bands that I absolutely love to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there's a few, but if I were to give like my top three,
mm-hmm.
I definitely, of course, I'm called the What's Up Girl, so I love covering Four Non Blondes What's Up.
I like that song. I listened to that. I listened to about 6 or 8 of your videos, and that was one of the ones I listened to actually a couple times.
Yeah. Everybody, you know, I've got Linda Perry down. You know, I've been doing that song for about 15 years now. And I just, you know, I think it gets better and better each time. But so everybody knows me as that, because that song is definitely going to come out in my set. I would say after that, I actually love covering Led Zeppelin. We do a version of Whole Lotta Love that I think is amazing. After that, I would say Alanis Morissette.
Okay.
I really love Alanis's sound. And I'm a lyrics person. I really listen to words. And her lyrics are just, I think they're very unique and creative and very full of passion, you know, whatever that passion might be, whether it be anger or happiness or revenge in a lot of her songs.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely
has a message, no doubt.
Yeah. You know, the contradiction of ironic. I love how she does that, and she does the same thing, contradicting herself. That's a lot of her themes to her songs are like that. So she has Ironic that does that, and she also has Hand in Pocket that does that. You know?
I like that song. Yeah, I like that song a lot.
I mean, if you actually listen to the words and read them, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm tired, but I'm broken, you know, it goes
mm-hmm.
back and forth. And
more
like,
of a
wow.
ballad. Yeah, it's like more of a ballad, yeah.
It's a perfect contradiction, though, because that's
mm-hmm.
life.
Yeah.
You know, life is just
yes.
one big contradiction. So that's basically her main message in a lot of her songs, you know. And in Ironic, you know, guy going up in the plane, always afraid, never flew. You know, it's a contradiction. Everything's a contradiction. That's what I think I like about her whole style. So...
How about clubs? You have a favorite club, or do you prefer singing closer to home on Long Island, or do you like singing in the city better? How does that work out for you?
You know what? I would never. I love going and seeing new places. You know, I love my hometown, but I've
mm-hmm.
been here. You know, I've done this,
mm-hmm.
so I kind of like going out and singing at newer places. And to tell you the truth, one of the funnest gigs that I do are those private party gigs, you know, when people call you up for a private party and you're at like a country club or
mm-hmm.
something like that, and you're performing for them because they're really into it. You know what I mean? They're like... There, you could go to certain like bars, and the bar might be like a sports bar, let's just say. Kahlua, stop. Oh my God. Stop. You could go to sports bars, and they have the TVs on, and everybody's watching sports, and it's almost like you kind of feel bad because these people aren't here to listen to music. They're there to watch the game. So sometimes you don't get like the best reactions at certain places. I love it when I can totally engage in my audience and they're there because of the music. Like, I know when I go play Red Lion in New York City, those guys are there for music, and that's solely what they're there for. When I play 89 North in Patchogue, that's a mm-hmm. music venue. Those guys are there to see the band, so I can get them going. But, you know, to any other bar, it's kind of like a hit or miss, and it's nobody's fault. It's just what people are there for. You know, if they're there for live music, they're there for live music. If they're there for sports, they're there for sports. And if they're there just for conversation and mingling, that's what they're there for. So
right.
all that, you know, goes into play with that. So I like to play the places where I know that they're definitely there for music. Kahlua, stop. They're definitely there for music, and they're definitely there to have fun and dance and be interactive. Those are the best shows for me. That's
you just
what
said the magic
me...
words.
What?
The dance. What I find that bands that get their fans up dancing are the most successful bands. You know, a lot of bands that play music that you can't dance to, you know, you get people tapping their feet. They generally don't last that long.
Right.
You know, maybe in an open mic setting, you know, or
well,
an open jam setting.
There are amazing musicians out there. I mean, they are amazing. They're out there and they perform. And people, you know, there could be amazing singers. And I hear some of these men and women who do this, and I go, holy crap, their voice is amazing. But you look out in the crowd and they're not responding, and it's because the singer has just taken over the job of just, or, you know, whoever is fronting that band, of just having this amazingly beautiful voice, and somehow, which happens a lot, has no interaction with her crowd or his crowd. And if you can't have, you can't interact, it doesn't matter how great of a singer you are, they're not going to respond to what you're doing. You know, people like me are going to, because I can recognize a beautiful voice, and that's what I would love to hear. Okay, but at the same time, if you can't engage your audience, they're not going to be interested, and they're not going to dance. You know, they're not. It could be some of the greatest music. It has nothing to do with the quality. It has everything to do with how are you engaging your audience.
Absolutely, so, entertainment value. You're first and foremost, you're an entertainer,
right?
And that's the look. That's getting the crowd involved either by dancing or giving you feedback or asking your questions or telling you know, talking to them about, you know, life. But that's all part of the game. And the bands that entertain are the bands that are successful, and
right.
the dancing is the dancing is a huge part of it. People don't want to hear about, you know, politics and this and that. They want to have fun. They come out to have fun. They don't.
Right.
They want to be relieved of burden, and they want somebody to entertain them, and that's what you
do.
They
need a release. Everybody needs a release. And, you know, that's the part of my job that I absolutely love, because I go up there as a release for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I know that these other people in the crowd are here for the same exact reason. And they just want to forget about life for a little bit, dance, sing, have a drink or two, and have fun, you know. And the only way that people begin to have fun is if the people who are entertaining them can get their attention and be like, look, this is fun. Come, this is fun. So that's one of the things that, you know, actually, surprisingly, my father conveyed to me when I was younger. I would sing, and when I would first start singing with, like, the Brotherhood,
mm-hmm.
you know, I never was nervous to get up there and sing, but there was definitely not a comfortableness of what to do with my arms or my body while I was up there, you know? The
mm-hmm.
voice I knew would carry over and be fine. The actual interacting and getting into it and showing people that I'm into it, that took a lot of, you know, time for me in the beginning because you are nervous. You're in front of a group of people. You're about to sing. And you can be a little bit stage awkward when you don't know exactly what you're going to do with your body because you're thinking about that. It took me a long time.
You still get butterflies when you first start before you getting on stage for the first set?
No, I never get them right before I start. You know, the only time I get butterflies is when we play those rooms where there is, like, no response.
I can understand that.
Like you're just looking at them going, guys, are you there?
That's very understandable. You're hoping they're not going to throw tomatoes at you. But I can't imagine that in your case because you have a great stage presence. I was watching, you know, at least a half a dozen in these videos, and you have fantastic stage presence. Even in the ones where you did some acoustics, you know, your feeling comes out.
It's all expression, and it all comes back to this whole conversation that we've been having is all about showing expression. I think that my biggest thing with that is a little side story from when I was younger. Actually, when I was a baby, I couldn't hear that well. I actually had chronic ear infections and had many surgeries when I was a baby because at age 2, I wasn't talking, and it was because I couldn't really hear. So a lot of the things that I relate back to when I say, like, visual is because a good portion of when I was – Kahlua, stop. When I was growing up, I was trying to hear, and since I couldn't hear that well, the only way that I could tell if something was good, was bad, was okay, was a facial expression or an expression from my mother or my father. And even growing up, you know, I went to years of speech class to correct a speech impediment that I had. But, you know, going through that whole process and, you know, you're going through the learning curve of how to communicate with people and how to not relearn. I never really learned how to talk because of what I had going on when I was younger. They had to start from scratch with me. So it only makes sense. A good portion of that learning point when I was younger was me watching people. So I think that
body language.
Right, exactly. And, you know, you could feel it. And, you know, I think that even right now, you know, you're calling me from over there. But if I were right in front of you, you could actually see everything that I'm doing and, you know, my facial expressions. And, you know, sometimes, like, I've been on radio shows where they might not be the most appropriate radio shows.
Okay.
But at least they'll look at me after they say something and they can see my facial expression and be like, okay, let's not continue with this. Or, oh, she's laughing about it. Let's go on with it. You know, I feel like that's a good gauge with that. But I think that's the main reason why I do a lot of this visual stuff where, you know, I know a lot of other people don't do it, you know, just to pop on Facebook Live and talk. That is, you know, solely because I have this ingrained in my head that, you know, everything should be visual. Also because of the hearing thing that I had when I was a child, I did have a learning disability, and a lot of things were challenging, and one of the learning disabilities was reading comprehension. So I know sometimes when I read things, it kind of gets all jumbled up, and I have to read it a couple of times. So I'm going back to just relating to myself of why I do this is because I just find it easier to communicate that way compared to
writing. It seems to work.
Right.
Works well.
Right.
Yeah, it works well.
Right. You know, I get people who give me, like, kind of mixed reviews on it. You know what I mean? A lot of the people who are on there love the fact that I go on there. Now, people who skim by, Kahlua, stop. A lot of people who just skim by, I'll see them out in public, and mainly the people who make comments are people who actually know who I am. they'll be like, oh, what, you're on Facebook Live again? You know, why don't you do something else? You know, they're making comments like that. And
I wouldn't worry too much about that. I mean,
I look at it as I'm being real. You know, This is real, and a lot of people can't handle real. You know, they can handle what they read, and because that's not a real thing. You don't know if that's real.
They don't have to have interaction. They can just close the book.
So it's just somebody who's uncomfortable with that whole concept, which I'm not. So,
I understand.
I get mixed comments? Yeah, I get mixed comments with it, you know.
But the people who love it,
I'll continue to do it for the people who love it, of course. And I'll continue to be as real as I could possibly be. I just remember I at one point I briefly had a manager. I was under management. And I remember when he first was looking into me, he asked me, he said, I only have really one question for you after all these, you know, other questions he had. He said, how do you want to be portrayed to the public?
That's a great question.
Right. And I looked at him and I just said, I just want to be real. And he
That's a great answer.
Right. That's it. I mean, you see so much fake stuff out there. I look at some of these artists, and like to me, Pink, I feel, is a very real person. You know,
she's very real
in her interviews. She's very real with her music. I like her as an artist because she's real. You know, and because she's great. But it adds something when you know that that person is actually genuine.
Absolutely.
You know, there's some, like, I see some actors on TV, and I'll go and be like, oh, wait, they were great, you know, in this movie, blah, blah, blah. And then I hear from somebody, go, yeah, well, but in real life, they're an asshole. Ooh, sorry.
Yeah.
Can I curse? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's not a problem. Yeah, that's good. It's all right.
But that's what they tell me.
That's true.
And then I go, so the next time I see them in a movie, it kind of ruins it for me because I'm like, but they're not really like that. You know what I mean? You kind of want to portray like that. You could be like this person, you know? And that's what I guess does it for me with music too. And a lot of the artists that I choose, I feel like they are genuinely real people. Some of the artists that I cover, you know, people have said certain things about them, you know, doesn't necessarily mean I believe it, but, you know, it's all in perception. And, you know, I love just real people who could be real, who could sit there and be understanding and know where they are and that. And I feel that certain artists definitely reflect that even in their work. So when he asked me that question, that was the only answer that I can give him because that's, you know, that's what I look for.
That was a great answer.
Right. I want to be portrayed as that as well, you know, just real, just be a real person.
Tell us about Beautiful Mess. That's your latest project now and your latest band.
That is my band. It's my first band, you know, that I am in charge of and running. Beautiful Mess is composed of some of New York City's finest musicians, I'm going to say it. And these guys are truly amazing. I mean, I have people who have worked in many really great cover bands. I have people who have been Grammy nominated. I also have, I have two bass players that I usually use, two keyboardists, you know, there's a couple, you know, one or two drummers. So one of the bass players actually played in many different projects and right now is recently playing with the Real Meatloaf. He plays out with him all over And I remember when I was in, oh, I still am, when I was doing a Meatloaf tribute band all the way over, where was it? New Mexico. We flew over there like 2 years ago, almost
wow.
2 years ago, to do a casino show. And it was so funny because apparently the real Meatloaf was in the same area as the Meatloaf tribute band.
Did you meet him?
I didn't meet him, but it was just very interesting how that all worked out because I contacted Danny and I was like, Danny, are you in, you know, I forgot what part of New Mexico we were in, but he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, it's too funny because I was there for the Meatloaf thing.
Is the Beautiful Mess of Meatloaf tribute band, or is that more of a...
No.
Okay.
Meatloaf is a completely different thing. That's called All Repped Up. But no,
okay.
Back to A Beautiful Mess, mm-hmm. I'm just saying that Danny Miranda, who plays with Meatloaf, does play with The Beautiful Mess as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have a plethora of different musicians that are all very talented, and they all know all different types of genres of music. If somebody came up and requested in A Beautiful Mess something that I couldn't necessarily sing,
mm-hmm.
I've got a few of the other band members who probably could do it, and they'll play it, and I'll hop off. That's what I wanted for A Beautiful Mess, is that we can pretty much cover a wide range of music. Maybe I might not be singing all of it because I might not know it, but
mm-hmm.
At least I know somebody in that band will, and they can kind of just go with it. But Beautiful Mess, we made it so that it's a high-energy rock band with some edgy female vocals, and we play all over the place. It's my first project putting together with these guys from different projects that I've worked in before. And it's just been a really great ride with them, you know. I'm really happy that they wanted to come and work with me. I can't thank them enough because they actually were the ones who put the idea in my head and said, you are capable of doing this. You know, you've been doing this for so long. Now it's your turn to maybe have your own project and front your own thing.
It's great to
so
have
they,
support of your fellow artists like that.
Right. You know, there's so many things that happen in the music industry. And the one thing that keeps me going is just support from people. And especially if it can come from the people that I'm working with and they actually believe in me, you know,
mm-hmm.
that makes a world of difference, you know, and that they want to be a part of this is another thing, you know. So I'm really happy and I'm really blessed that that I have people who really want to work with me and that they are some of the best musicians that I've worked with. So,
very fortunate. You're very fortunate.
I'm very happy about that. Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about
your
upcoming schedule? You got some gigs coming up.
Right now, during the summer, The Beautiful Mess has a few gigs, but I have to actually get the dates out of my phone.
Okay.
But and I'm still not. You see, here's the thing with The Beautiful Mess. A Beautiful Mess is made up of another band that I do sing with. So some of the shows go to the other band that I'll front every once in a while. And some
What's the name of that
some
band?
Of those, Deep Sea Revival.
Okay.
Deep Sea Revival. And then some of the shows actually go to A Beautiful Mess. So we're kind of like back and forth on what we're actually going to do with the whole Beautiful Mess thing, because a good majority of the band is pretty much Deep Sea Revival. It's just when I'm fronting it, they call it A Beautiful Mess. And we're kind of like in the talks back and forth, do we just keep on separating the two, or do we possibly combine the two and just have one band? You know, we're in talks about doing that. But right now, you know, as for A Beautiful Mess, that's still continuing. And we have shows that mainly consist out east on the island for the summer in Montauk and in the Hamptons. But I definitely have to get that schedule kind of on paper and figure out when it will be A Beautiful Mess playing, because there's
okay.
a bunch of dates.
Why don't you tell us how people can find where you're playing? Give your Facebook page and you know how you post, you know, where you're playing and how you keep in touch with people. So if people wanted to follow you, what do you suggest they do?
Anybody can go. A lot of people have Facebook, so if you just go to Kate Fazio on Facebook, you'll find all the postings under Kate Fazio. So it's C-A-I-T, and then F as in Frank, A, Z as in Zebra, I-O. You'll see a picture of me just singing. So if they go in just to Facebook and do that. There is a Twitter and an Instagram as well, and it's under Kate Fazio as well. But I think on Instagram, it's like Kate _ Fazio. That's the way you'll find me on Instagram. Of course, you can always go to YouTube, too, if you're just looking for some videos. There's tons of videos over the years of me working with several different bands. So you can kind of go through all the generations of
that's how
bands
I found out about you. Yeah. I did my research a little bit yesterday after we communicated on Facebook. And, you know, I spent 10, 15, 20 minutes, you know, listening to your stuff. And I went through Facebook, and I was very, very impressed. You're a wonderful performer, wonderful entertainer, and your crowds are engaged, and that's phenomenal. Good
Thank
job.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I mean, I've tried very hard to get where I am right now, and, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's just cover band stuff, which I shouldn't say it like that because it's actually amazing. What?
That's fine. Yeah, you have to start by getting a following, and if people want to hear cover stuff, you know, no pun intended, you have that covered.
exactly. But you
and
know,
then you can work on your originals in between all that stuff.
Right. You know, but a lot of people ask the question like, "Oh, well, how far do you want to go?" And I'll tell you, if this were like 5 years ago, I probably would have been like, I want to go as far as I possibly can. And I still feel that way. But I'm not going to be devastated with what I have done. You know what I'm saying? Everything has been a great adventure. I've learned a lot. And I would never take any of that back, any of the experiences that I've had with any of these groups that I've been with, because they've all been learning experiences and they've brought me to where I am today, which is much further than I was 10 years ago. So I'm happy about that. You know, I've made strides.
You definitely honed your stage presence. Absolutely.
Right. My father now cannot yell at me and throw rotten tomatoes and say, engage. but, you know, I'm happy as long as who I'm performing for is happy with what they're hearing. You know, obviously you don't want to be a performer that's performing in front of people stuff that they don't want to hear, you know.
Absolutely.
But I'm happy as long as I can please the crowd and they're happy and they can leave and go, that was amazing. That's the thing that makes me happy. It's not about, you know, popularity or anything like that, because I'll be honest with you, when I get up on that stage, I get lost in my own little world. It's like a different Kate, you know. You could talk to me now and it's not the same person that gets up on that stage. But I give it my all, and I love seeing the crowd react to that. You know, that just makes it all worth it. And that was all, once again, the big part of this conversation is that's all being me. So they're reacting to me just being me, and that's the best part. And, you know, any artist will tell you that it's just such a great feeling when you get off and you get all those compliments. Like, that was great. You made me feel this. You made me feel that. This was awesome.
Absolutely.
So
they got
really
their money. They
I
got
can,
their money's worth.
Right. I'm happy I can bring that to them, you know.
It's a beautiful thing. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to keep an eye on you on Facebook. Let us know here if there's any you know, any big developments, anything you want to get out. We'd welcome you to come back anytime you'd like.
That'd be great.
You know, okay, and this was my pleasure, my honor to have you on the show. And tomorrow the archive will be up, and I'll email you the link, and that's something you could share with your fans.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming on with us. Kate, good evening, and we'll be in touch again, and keep on knocking them dead, okay?
Thank you very much. It's been great. I feel very honored that you contacted me to be on your show, so I appreciate it very much. And, yes, definitely keep on staying tuned, watching more of Kate Fazio on Facebook, Facebook Live, and YouTube.
All righty. Thank you very much. Have a good evening, and, you know, be safe, okay?
You too. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, everyone. That was Kate Fazio, Long Island performer. Go onto YouTube and look her up. You'll be very happy what you see with her performances. She covers a lot of different bands. If you're, you know, into Pink, and if you're into Alanis Morissette and Led Zeppelin, she does a wide variety of covers. She's working on her own originals in the background, and I think we're going to hear a lot more about Kate. So we're gonna call it a night here at bnclive.com. Tomorrow night we'll be on again tomorrow night with Chuck. Let's see who's coming on tomorrow night. Chuck, I can't remember. Bear with me one second. Chuck Lampert, the New Jersey blues man. He's from the Jersey Shore. Many of my listeners know him. He's coming back for, I think he's been on with us two or three times already. He runs some open mics, some open jams, and he is a fabulous blues player. And if you're from Monmouth or Ocean County, you know who I'm talking about. He'll be on with us tomorrow night at 9:30. We're starting a little bit later than normal tomorrow night, and we'll see you tomorrow night. So be safe out there. Get out and see these local bands. Don't drink and drive. Have a good time. All right, this is Al Fink, BNC Live. Also, we have Talk to the Jam and bandsandclubs.com. All right, so we'll see you tomorrow. Good night, everybody.